This morning, as we take some time to talk about that love hopes all things, once again, we'll start off with what this is not. This is not a 4 or 5 year old hoping and wishing on his birthday that he gets a new horse. This is not that kind of hope. It's also not a hope of there's always time left. Whenever sometimes people say, you know what, you can always pray for someone. You know, there are 3 times in the book of Jeremiah where God forbids Jeremiah to pray for his people. So it's not that kind of hope either. There's something different about this hope. What it really is, it's a favorable and confident expectation. It means it's something that's good, that's favorable, and it's something you're confident is coming. So whenever you start to look down through these things, this is, we're talking about the spiritual hope. Now there's a different kind. There's a physical hope as well. If you're reading through Romans chapter 4 and it gets down to verse 18 and it says, in hope against hope, Abraham believed. Now, there was a promise made to Abraham that there would be many nations born out of his son, Isaac. Now, at the time, he's about 100 years old. His wife's about 89. And there's a physical hope that said, you got to be kidding me. You know, if you looked around to some of our ladies that are in their late 80s or early 90s and you said, you know what, you're going to have a child. You know what they'd do? They'd laugh. Oh, they'd laugh. And any men that we have that would be almost 100 years old to think of, you know what, it's time to have a boy. Whew. You can always see them being worn out already. But you see, the physical hope side says, don't even think about it. That's only funny talk. But the spiritual side, the spiritual hope that's going on there is saying, there's no way it cannot happen. God promised it. And so you see, even in our New Testament, the word hope is used both in the physical side of looking at the physical side of things and the spiritual side of things. So we have to be careful whenever we're reading through our New Testament. Whenever you're talking about hope, 1 Timothy talks about, whenever Paul writes to him, he says that our Savior Christ Jesus is our hope. He's our spiritual hope. And you look through those things and you see, okay. So now we start to see, we're not talking about some physical wish. We're talking about something that's good and it's something that's expected. Now, here's something else we need to understand. It takes hope before you can have faith. Remember what we normally say is the definition for faith from Hebrews 11? We always talk about that. That faith is the assurance of the things hoped for. This is that hope. It starts off with a hope that, you know what, I hope, with good expectation, that God's going to raise us in the end as His children. Faith is whenever you believe that God is going to carry through with what we hope for. It's the conviction of things not seen. We'll talk about a little bit more about that here in a minute. But I want to show us what builds this hope within us, since we're going to work off of love. Looking at Romans chapter 5, look down now at verse 3. It says, and not only this, and talking about that we've already obtained peace with God through Jesus, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Tribulation, you ever get into hard times? They're not temptations, they're basically what happens to us. That's the tribulation. You ever felt like you walked into trouble? That's tribulation. You didn't cause it, but you're in the middle of it now. He says, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Whenever those troubles come, you're going to figure out whether you have perseverance or not, whether you're going to continue to keep on going forward and continue on through. Now notice what comes with perseverance, verse 4. And perseverance brings forth proven character. Whenever we've shown that we have perseverance, it shows, you know what, the character doesn't change depending on the situation. It's always going to be the same thing over and over again. Proven character. And notice what happens. Whenever there's proven character, whenever we won't bend on doing what's right, notice what it gives us. Hope. Now there's a good and favorable expectation. Because we know we're striving according to what God wants. Now, here's what we're looking at through this whole ordeal. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Down at verse 22. As it continues back there in Romans chapter 4, it talks about in the hope that doesn't disappoint. It says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through His Spirit. Notice the Spirit is involved here. It's not just about the way we think anymore. It's about what God has done in pouring out His love within our hearts that gives us His hope. That's why love hopes all things, because God's poured it into us. It's not something all of a sudden you walk around someday and you go, hey, you know, I hope I go to heaven. It takes God to pour out His Spirit within us to give us this love and this hope. Now, here's the way everything else sees that hope. Look at verse 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what the pains of childbearing is like, to realize we know what that comes right before. We think we got the sequence down. You have the pains, then comes the child. Now, here he says, for we know, notice, it's interesting, he says, we know. So many times we don't think about this, and sometimes we don't know because we don't think about it, because we don't trust in what God's told us, or we haven't read it. But he says, for we know that the whole creation groans. Everything that's been created, whenever at night you look up and you see the stars, all that stuff. Whenever you see pictures of the universe, all that stuff. Whenever you see animals at a zoo, all that stuff. All the trees, all the vegetation, all that stuff. You know, all that stuff groans. It's not a groaning that you hear. It's not all of a sudden you're taking a walk and you hear a groaning tree. What was that? No. But it's a groaning. It says it groans, it says, and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. It says it's been that way for a long, long time. And it's still the same way right now. Whenever Paul wrote it in the first century, it's still the same thing right now. 21st century. Why? Why the sufferings of pain, and why the groaning? What does it want? Look at verse 23. He says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. That's why the whole creation groans. And it suffers the pains because it's ready to see children born. We're not talking about being born into the kingdom so much as we're talking about now the hope to be realized that we're children of God. The whole earth, everything is created, groans because it can't point out who the children of God are. You ever known a secret? And it was a good one. And you just really wanted to tell it. And you thought, oh, you know, if somebody asked me, I don't know if I can keep it in or not. That's kind of like the whole creation. They know. It's funny to think. We think, well, that's just some dumb animal. That's just some dumb tree. They know more than we do sometimes. Groans. And if you notice here, he talks about sometimes we groan. You ever get certain days or more so than others where we really long to be in the presence of God? where we look around at all the things that have been created and we wonder, you know, I can't wait to be in the presence of God and for all this temporal stuff to be done away with. And to stand in His presence, being made whole by the blood of Christ. You ever groan like that? Notice as he continues on here, he says, having the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits. Think about it. Here's the Spirit that dwells in us. Spirit's eternal. And if it's part of us, eternal life is coming. We'll see that more in a minute. But notice, he says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now, people who don't have the Spirit of God in their heart through the blood of Christ, they don't groan for death. They don't groan for a physical death that opens up into life eternal. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that don't groan as those people who don't have their hope in anything. He says, don't let death control you like those who don't have hope. Because we have hope. For most people, death is the end. For us, physical death is just the beginning. It's the last part of the groaning. It's over. And then we get to live the rest of our lives in the presence of God. Because we have the first fruits of the Spirit dwelling in us. Because the love of God's been poured out in our hearts through His Spirit. Now, you notice where it continues on. It says, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons. This idea of waiting eagerly, it reminds me so much of a children's home. For a child that's been abandoned and been left to itself, you've kind of been left in a place where you're taken care of and you're loved, but you just long to have a home of your own and parents to look after you in a way that can't be done whenever you have that many children at one place. I used to remember watching some movies about orphanages, and to see the children eagerly wait. They would all know whenever an expectant couple would come in, and they knew they were going to adopt one of the children that day. And they would come in, and all the children would eagerly wait to be adopted. Please, you know, they'd always try and act the best and be the cutest and smile and laugh and everything. And they just wanted to be adopted so bad, but they knew there was only going to be one child taken. And they just wanted it so bad. It's a blessing for us to know that it won't be just one child taken. But that eagerly awaiting the adoption of God and Him taking us, that's the hope that we have. That's the hope of realizing, even though we failed, our hope, Christ Jesus, is going to take away the failure. And we'll be adopted. We'll be taken in as sons, as children. Now, if you notice, he says the redemption of our body. He says, it's the whole body that's taken. I'm not talking about the physical body. I'm talking about all of us. The body as a whole. And then verse 24. Here comes the hope. He says, for in hope we have been saved. It's hope. Faith working through hope. He says, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? He says, hope that's seen is not hope. Huh? At first sight, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. For hope that's seen is not hope. It's kind of like saying, you know what? If you see your dad, you haven't seen him. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Hope that is seen. Here's the thing. Physical hope that is seen is not spiritual hope. Then he says, for who hopes for what he sees? Because if you can see it, then it's physical. Now, it's an interesting question he asks. For who hopes for what he already sees? A whole lot of people hope for what they already see. How many of you want a new car? Anybody? Well, boy, if you're handing out promises like that, sign me up. See, that's a physical hope. He's talking about the real, eternal things you don't see yet. That's why all creation is just groaning for it, because it's not here yet. The adoption hasn't come. We're still those children, those orphans who are waiting to be adopted, eagerly awaiting. Now notice what he says in the next verse. He says, but if we hope for what we do not see, if we have spiritual hope of the things unseen, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. You know what happens after you get the new car? Well, you don't hope for it again until it doesn't become new anymore. But with spiritual things, you know what? You keep on eagerly waiting. Man, it's eager. Man, we long for it. Longing to be in God's presence. In all reality, whenever you think about the presence of God, longing to see love for what love really is. That's the presence of God. He says, we eagerly wait to see that. I can't imagine what that's like. To think of a place where everybody's working off the character of God. Ready to go? Man, that sounds wonderful. Now, whenever you look at this, then we have a thought. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is looking into the very presence of God. And there are some seraphim flying around with six wings. With two of the wings, they cover their eyes. With two of the wings, they cover their feet. And with the other two wings, they fly around. Now, they cover their eyes. Even they don't want to look at God because they realize they're not worthy. So when Isaiah comes into the picture and he's looking and he sees them covering their eyes, he realizes, woe is me. I'm about to die because I'm a sinful man. He realizes, if they won't look, I shouldn't be looking into the holiness of God. Because that's what the seraphim were for, to protect God's holiness. Cherubim as well. So he struggles with that because he doesn't feel like he's been made clean. One of the seraphim grabs a coal out of the altar, touches to his lips, and he's made clean. He knows he needs something. Same thing for us. If we're going to be adopted as children, we know that we need something. Look over at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, look down at verse 18. Excuse me, verse 17. Talks about in the same way God, talking about in before, that says men make a swear or an oath and they do it by something higher than themselves. So the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. Notice, here's what can't be changed is God's purpose. He says, interpose with an oath so that by two unchangeable things, number one, that the purpose is not going to change, and number two, that there's an oath. He says, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. That we would grab a hold of Jesus, our hope, and let it move from there. Grabbing hold of him. You know what love always does? It grabs a hold of Jesus. And it will never let him go. That's what love always does. That's what you saw with God. Why do you think God loved his son so much? Because he would not ever let go of his father's commands. That's the love that you see. Now, because of that, look at verse 19. It says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Jesus is an anchor for the soul. Not just an anchor for some old piddly little boat. It says, Jesus can hold down the parts of you that you can't see. The soul. You know, we sing a song called Home of the Soul. Presence of God. You know what? God says, I'm going to offer you an anchor. He says, both sure and steadfast. It won't slip and it won't move. Never going to change. So as you hold on to that anchor, it'll work even for your soul, not just the physical piddly things. He continues on. He says, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Now, here's where you're going, where no man goes. Even the high priest didn't go into the veil without taking two hands full of incense, so that God's presence would be guarded and fogged in a way. But look at what Jesus, our anchor, has done. Look at verse 20. When Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus entered as a forerunner. There's usually only one other person we talk about in the Bible as being a forerunner, and that's John the Baptist. He came in, preached and taught about the kingdoms at hand. He says, there's one coming after me that's greater than me, and he's the one that you should serve. He came to prepare the way so that whenever Jesus came, they would be ready. Look at what Jesus does now for us. He says, I stand in the presence of God as a forerunner, so that those who will be adopted as children, the same adoption that we eagerly wait for, I've already prepared a place for you to come. And because of my blood, you can be made clean and you can stand in the presence of God. It's already prepared. It says an anchor. It says a high priest forever like Melchizedek. In other words, it's not going to change. It'll be that way eternally. And he says, that same hope that you have because of my son, because of what he's done for us, says that's the hope that we hold on to. That's the hope that we have. And faith works through hope. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That favorable and good expectation. Here it is. And I think of standing in the presence of God, not only as just someone who's been cleansed, but as a son. And to really cry out, Father. And to know, he says, I've prepared the way for you. I'm an anchor. It's not going to change. I'm not going to slip. And it waits for those who have set their hope on him to redeem us. And I think he says he's already poured the Spirit out in our hearts, the love of God, to be able to stand in his presence. Love of God works off of that hope. It says, you know what? I don't want to miss out on hope. I don't want to miss out on the hope that leads to a favorable expectation of us being united again in the presence of God, all as children, one body, the redemption of the body. That's the kind of hope we're talking about. Love hopes all things. It continues to stay steadfast on Jesus. It never moves off of it. It never deviates off of it. It never finds another way. It continues after him at all costs. Because nothing is worth us giving up eternal life for. Why set your hope on physical things? That's not a spiritual hope at all. Set it on Christ.